Well, if you have not been paying attention to doomsayers or John Cusack movies, let me tell you, December 21st is supposed to be the day that many say the Maya long ago predicted that the world would come to an end. Of course, that projected date confuses two ancient Central American cultures. One, the Aztec, had a mythology full of wrath, death, and enough cataclysmic destruction for a Hollywood movie. The other, the Maya, were more into cycles of nature and dwelt very little on apocalypse. Now, supposedly, the calendar of the Maya that predicts the end of the world this month, only it really doesn't, according to the archaeologists who know. This, however, doesn't make for sensational headlines in supermarket tabloids or attention-grabbing links in the internet. And it's about such prophecies as this that, you know, inquiring minds want to know. Now, long ago, and it seems pretty long ago, when I went to seminary, learned how to be a preacher, one of the questions I took with me when I went there pertained to all this prophecy stuff. Now, I knew in my gut that all these sensational predictions were not really what prophecy, from a biblical perspective, is all about. But what is then true prophecy? As often happened back then, my professor didn't outright tell me. Don't you hate it when they do that? Instead, he directed me to find out for myself. Along the way, I discovered a Jewish teacher by the name of Abraham Heschel, who opened my eyes to the prophets of the Old Testament. Now, these prophets of the Hebrew Bible, Heschel wrote, had a burning passion for God. They cared deeply about the I am who I am and spoke with passion God's word to the children of Israel. Now that, however, was only part of the picture. On the other hand, these prophets also had a burning passion for God's people. Because they cared so deeply about God's people, they spoke with passion for the people to God. Now, when we think about prophecy as the tabloids define it, we rarely imagine such a two-way street. From their perspective, a prophetic utterance is not a dialogue. Rather, it is a headline. There is nothing, then, that you can do about this prediction but just wait to see if it will come true. And given that much of what is found in those publications isn't worth much more than the paper that it's printed on, most folks are highly skeptical as to whether any of these predictions will come to pass. Any waiting that people do then only involves the expectation of a new edition and the next sensational headline. Or, looking at the history sometimes of the Christian church, waiting for the next prophet to predict the end, and we've had many over the course of the years. In the Bible, however, prophecy is a dialogue. Furthermore, the one who speaks the words is not apathetic. No, the prophet is filled instead with passion, or what Heschel called pathos, which is the opposite of apathy. There is apathy, could care less, and pathos. The prophet speaks passionately for God to the people, and to God for the people. Prophecy then, that is the words of the prophet, prophecy, these are passionate words. Now, why is the prophet so passionate, so filled with pathos? Well, it's because God is filled with pathos. God is passionate. God is not apathetic toward this world. Now, sometimes we describe the Almighty in this way, as someone who is, you know, distant, who objectively watches what has been created and without any passion whatsoever judges everything. Now, I've got to say that there is something very appealing about such a dispassionate arbitrator in world affairs. I mean, often our passions run amok and we can't see the forests for the trees. Now, witness the recent mess happening in Israel, or the inflamed emotions behind the debt ceiling cliff. A little less passion, we wish, and a little more distance. But then we have grown somewhat apathetic about it all, haven't we? Do we really care about what happens inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C.? Do we really care if there is peace in the Holy Land? Well, God cares. Not because God is a Republican or a Democrat, an Israeli or a Palestinian. God is passionate about this creation. It is out of such pathos that God speaks through the hearts and the lips of prophets yesterday and today. And that word of God spoken through a prophet is not just a prediction of events to come in some distant future. That is a mistaken notion of prophecy. Sometimes it is indeed future-oriented, this passionate word of God, but that is only sometimes. Now, we need to reclaim words such as prophecy. I say reclaim, but not in the sense of some army doing battle to rescue lost territory, to plant a flag and claim it as a possession. No, I mean reclaim as in welcome home a loved one who has been away. You know, there are many words like prophecy that have become like strangers to us when they used to be family. Like the word wrath. When we use the word wrath, if we use it at all in this modern era, wrath is a negative term which refers to a vengeful God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. We hear the Bible speak for God. And the anger behind the words can be highly destructive, highly negative in our imaginations. What we miss is the positive. The positive that we can place our own destructive anger into the hands of the only one who cares enough to handle it. In the Bible, wrath is God's passion. Now, sometimes God's wrath burns white hot, but it never ceases to love. In fact, love and wrath are not opposites. They walk hand in hand. In prophecy, God walks beside us. It's a good word. Sometimes it hurts, but then so does good medicine. As it says in the book of Proverbs, without a vision, without prophecy, without revelation, without guidance from God, the people perish. Prophecy reveals what is often hidden by the dark. It gives guidance, especially when we can't see much of the road ahead. It provides a vision for walking that path upon which God leads us. Now, can we welcome this word back into our homes, reclaiming it as family? Today we begin a whole new year in the Christian calendar. This is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. It's a time of preparation. And by the way, I didn't announce it, but did you see on your way in those devotional booklets that are seated out there? Please pick one up. Use that during this time of preparation. Yes, we are getting ready for Christmas during this season, the celebration of the first Advent. the start of God's greatest adventure, sending his Son, who entered this world in the same vulnerable way as every other human being. Advent, as a season of preparation, though, isn't just about looking backwards. It's also about looking ahead to another Advent, when Christ will complete what was begun first time around, an adventure beyond our wildest imagination. You know, notice how I'm trying to reclaim, to welcome back another word into our home. Now, for many of us, Advent, that word, has become lost amid all the beautiful decorations of this holiday time. Advent is not just an ornament to put on our tree. It's what the season is all about. It's the great adventure of our faith. In the present moment, we join in this adventure. Now, the journey now involves listening and waiting. God cares passionately about this world and about us. So much so, as the old hymn sings out, to us a child of hope is born. To us a son is given. Now, that's not just past tense, did you notice? A child is born. A son is given. Jesus is God's Word made flesh, prophecy in human form, God's passion revealed. Remember that sometimes all too well-known verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That is present tense, however, not just a blast from the past. Are we prepared now to receive this passionate gift, this Word of God, and to follow him today as he guides us toward tomorrow? And it's not just about a little baby in a manger whom we can cuddle, to whom we can bring gifts. It's about facing into the very passion of God. In order to face into this one who cares so deeply about this world, we need to welcome home, we need to reclaim another word that has questionable press for today. The word is repentance. Now, in remembrance of our brother Leon K. Grice, you know, has it really been almost 5 years since he left us? Well, in remembrance of Leon, let me share a joke worthy of his pun-loving heart. Ready? A fellow was hired by a church to paint the outside of the meeting house. In order to maximize his profits, he purchased as little paint as he possibly could. Partway into the task, he realized there was not enough to go around, so he started adding paint thinner to his can. Do you know where I'm going with this? This worked, but there still wasn't enough, so he added even more. By the time he finished the job, he was brushing on more thinner than paint, and it showed. The chair of the Stewards Commission came to look over what was done, and he then spoke the prophetic word. Are you ready? Repaint and thin no more. You know that one. Well, fellow sinners, we don't come to church to whitewash over what isn't right in our lives. We come to face into the one who cares passionately about this world and about us, and to follow him today toward tomorrow. Repentance, by the way, is not merely contrition, feeling bad about the past. The truth is, as Scripture says, we're all sinners. All have fallen short, and we can't whitewash over that, nor should we. Even if we tried, God's prophetic word would reveal our thinning. We need to be, well, washed, not whitewashed. Repentance simply means turning toward God. In so doing, we step into the cleansing, healing river of the Lord. Now, Advent is a special time of turning. After all, how can you follow what you are not faced into? I dare say we need to repent every day of our lives, perhaps every moment. It's not a matter of feeling miserable about who you are. It's a matter of turning yet again toward God. Remember that old hymn, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Daily in repentance, we turn toward God saying, "Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." To move us in God's direction, nudging us toward the coming kingdom, that's what prophecy is about. As I said earlier, sometimes the word of the prophet is a word about the future. In this morning's scripture reading, Jesus was speaking as a prophet, sharing a word about what was to come. Now, the junction point between where he was speaking only to the early believers who lived through some very rough times, you know, like the destruction of Jerusalem, which did happen in 70 AD, and where he was looking ahead to a distant apocalypse far down the road is not all that clear. What is clear is that this prophecy, this word from the Lord, helps believers of any time turn now and face God. I love that line where our Lord speaks of God's help amid persecution. No, I don't like the idea of being persecuted, don't get me wrong. But I love that verse where it says that amid the rough times, it's Jesus here saying, that there will be an opportunity to testify. By the way, one of the words we'll seek to reclaim next week is the word testimony. Anyway, we don't need to be afraid of speaking up, of sharing our faith, worried ahead of time about what on earth we'll say. No, as long as we're faced toward God, the words will be the easy part. Jesus also spoke of the fig tree as a sign of the times. Now, I don't know all that much about fig trees, but I do know something of a plant called the fireweed. I first encountered this plant 27 years ago, the summer I spent in Alaska, where fireweed grows in abundance, able to flourish in a harsh climate. It is said that one of the first plants to sprout after a major fire devastates an area is the fireweed, the reason behind its name. But there's also something else about the fireweed. It flowers all the growing season long. It is said that you can tell how far along the summer is by how high up on the stalk the flowers are blooming. The higher up the blooms, the later into the summer it is becoming. And you know, up there, fall and spring are very small seasons. This, I believe, is an appropriate image for us during the present season, a time for welcoming God's passionate word made flesh in Jesus Christ. A time for daily turning toward the one who still speaks what we need to hear. May we, like fireweed, blossom all season long. May we be God's fireweed.